Q94, it's your Mountain Rock, and it's a morning adventure. We've got all kinds of cool and groovy rock and roll still to come. And, of course, this little morning adventure takes us with coaches' shows. It's Friday. It's week one, as a matter of fact, and talking with coaches all over the southern Missouri, northern Arkansas even area. And now we're cruising north to Dent County, up to Salem, to talk with head coach of the Salem Tigers, Neil Myers. Hey, Coach, how we doing?
Doing great. Doing good.
Well, appreciate you taking the time to visit with us, and congratulations on your promotion. Now athletic director. I mean, that's you're a busy man, aren't you?
It's a nonstop thing, but I'll tell you what, the way I operate, if I'm not busy, I start finding things to do, so I think it's a good piece for us.
Amen. Amen. Well, here we are, week one, but let's kind of go reverse a little bit. Tell us about how the summer went, your team camps, your 7-on-7s. How did all that go for the Salem Tigers this year?
I thought it went really well for us. We actually participated in two different 7-on-7s as part of our summer activities this year. I really wanted to get our secondary, as far as defensive, some time. I wanted to get our offense some time as well. Kind of in the past, we've really looked at more as an offensive type. 7-on-7 has been an offensive session for us, just because, or a defensive session, I'm sorry, because offensively we hadn't passed near as much, but wanted to get our guys involved in that a little bit, try out some different things, see how we would be able to operate, see how we do, and I thought we accomplished that through the 7-on-7s this summer, and I thought our summertime was good for us.
You know, last year you were kind of a young squad, so you got quite a bit coming back, don't you?
We do. We've got quite a few coming back. I was actually looking through it the other day. As a coach, you're always trying to look forward, and as crazy as it sounds, I know we're in season, but there's things that we look at going, you know, as far as the years ahead as well. Mm-hmm. And was just looking through the numbers, and we were young last year. This class that we've got that are seniors was the first freshman class that started with me when I started here. Mm-hmm. A lot of them saw a lot of time as sophomores 2 years ago, and saw that same time last year. Mm-hmm. And now we're kind of seeing, hopefully, maybe some of those fruits of that labor of having those kids with that time as they step up and get into the positions and things that they've done now for some of them going on 3 years.
Yeah, game time experience, you just can't, there's only one way to get it, and that's on Friday nights. And, you know, seeing things, identifying things, it's just a very valuable cost of doing business, so to speak, especially when you're rebuilding or you're trying to get up top. And when, you know, teams come out and you've already seen it a few times, you're like, okay, I kind of have a better idea now what's going on. And then, you know, when you're talking to players, you probably this year or maybe even last year, but you see more of a, I got you, coach. You can see it in their eyes. You can see them processing what you're saying.
Yes, I think that's one of the biggest things. Part of our practice plan and everything through summer and even for the season, there was a lot more focus on certain things, but you're starting to see, I think we start getting more of that business attitude even with that experience as well, too. They're starting to come in. They understand that, you know, we've got to put work in to get where we need to be. And I think compared to years past, that's at an all-time minimum as far as kind of the horseplay and the, mm-hmm. as I call it, the jacking around. But that's a sign of maturity, and that's a sign of these guys realizing what they want, what they want to do.
Well, you were in the Sullivan, is that correct, Sullivan Jamboree this past Friday?
We were. We were up in Sullivan. We had Cuba, Sullivan, St. James, Lutheran South, and Jefferson R7 were the six schools that we had there. And we obviously didn't go against St. James because we opened with St. James, but it's always funny at these jamborees because we were watching film just the other day, and I started laughing in the middle of it because I realized as we're watching film, and this kind of tells you as a coach, you get that tunnel vision, I think, sometimes, but we're watching film, and I'm watching plays, and for some reason, I – wasn't as hyper-focused on it. And I look up, and the entire St. James coaching staff, you can see standing at about the numbers watching our offense at that time, and they did the same thing through defense. So,
well, you've got their attention. That's a sign of respect, and that's a good thing. But now, of course, tonight's opponent, St. James, and what are you seeing out of them? What are you expecting to see out of them?
Well, scheme-wise, offensively, they're almost identical to who we are. They were, along with another SC opponent, but I remember we first went down to a Harding clinic 2 years ago, and we walk in, and it's us and Mountain Grove, St. James, Lebanon. I mean, I think it was all Central Missouri, Rolla. Mm-hmm. I think we were becoming the flex bone representative for the state of Missouri here in the central part of the state, but central and south part of the state. But they're going to come out in flex bone. We know that. We saw what we saw in Jamboree from them. I'm sure there could be some tricks up their sleeve, of course, as with any team. But for the most part, we know that their base is going to be out of flex bone, and that's what they want to do. They got a kid that was a 1,000-yard rusher right at it last year as a fullback. Holt is his last name, and we expect to see a whole lot of dose of him, and we expect to see a lot of the flex bone.
Yeah, well, and that is more and more teams are, going to it, and over my years, it's you see these, I don't like the word fad, but you see these styles, wing T and then single wing and spread and now it's kind of, the flex, but every coach though, and I'm sure even you, yes, that may be your base, but you have other influences that kind of creates a hybrid offense.
Yep.
And that's what makes it fun.
That's what makes it total. And you were naming off the offenses, Gary, and I was just thinking about it. The part of it that's really fun with all of it is that you start seeing mutations of those or combinations of, mm-hmm. of two of them. I know one right now is that the wing T has always been an offense. It's an old offense.
Yeah.
Now you got teams running shotgun wing T. I just heard the other day running flex bone, but running it out of pistol.
Yeah.
There's so many different variations. As a coach, for me, I enjoy it sometimes because it's a problem you've got to figure out when you get that film.
Yeah.
Then the fun part from there is communicating that and getting your players to understand it as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the fun, but the fun part of coaching is getting to share that knowledge and educate your players and get them ready. And then the test for you is that game night.
Yeah.
And I remember when I first got into coaching, I didn't understand that. How 10 years ago. But the problem, I thought that players would just take it for what it was and understand it all.
Yeah.
And kids are. They have different levels in that they learn and that they do. And I had a coach tell me one time that, you can make it as simple as you want, but if they don't understand it still, you still haven't taught them anything. And that really kind of set with me that, you got to get to a communication level where the kids understand exactly what it is you're wanting to do and why you're wanting to do it.
Amen. Amen. I mean, every coach, as far as X's and O's go, coaches, they know offenses, they know defense. But now, you're seasoned. And looking back, if you could go back 10 years to your rookie head coach self, what advice would you give yourself if you could go back 10 years?
So I might have some of the rest of the public want to hate me on this one, but some of the best advice I got from it was actually my coaching staff that I had when I was in high school. They came to watch a game, and we had a delay for weather, so I got to sit out and talk with them all for quite a bit. And I even got to talk to some other great coaches from the school that we were visiting that were there also talking. And all of them said the same thing. And it's kind of funny how this works because I heard it a week later from Warren Sapp from Colorado. And exactly what my coaches said is said, Neil, remember, it's not the X's and O's. It's the gems. And I do firmly believe that. I think Warren Sapp said it. He said, you could draw up the best offensive play you had. It's going to be the best one in the country. But if you don't have executed, you're still going to be where you were before. And that is a huge piece, because it is, the game is Jimmy's and Joe's. And I think sometimes for us as coaches, it's hard, because I think a lot of the times our parents or fans think that we're colleges and that we get to go out and recruit who we want, where in all reality, we're a public education, and we get the kids that we get, and we have to get them to that level where we need them to be. And some kids will get there and some kids won't, but you have to make your system work for those kids. And I think that's the hard part for us a lot of times, is we're trying to do what's right for those kids and get them in the right places and get them where they need to be. And obviously the perception is, because as the world turns, you sit there and, you know, I think most people think coaches get paid, you know, $90,000 to $100,000 a year just to coach, and that we get to recruit players from all over. And I have to remind some of my parents that, nope, that's college. I wish, you know, as coaches, we wish we had that ability. But it really comes down to who you've got there in the class, in that class, and who the athletes are that can run the stuff that you want to run.
Yeah, adjusting to what you have is. Sometimes it's difficult, because, you know, I know in my past I'm very hard headed, but yet, you know, you get older, you figure out more of what you can teach and what that player, that student can absorb, and that's what you got to run with. And, yeah, it's just, I mean, that is the beauty of it, and that's what makes it so rewarding and fun, you know, and as people and fans and parents, when, you know, the scoreboard, it's very important. It is very important. But watching your young men, you know, improve and get better, and you know, the respect that they put out there for the game, for the coaches, for their family, that's really where it's at. You know, building our future leaders. And I tell you what, sports is the greatest tool that we have when we allow our coaches and our schools to do that. And you know, it's a huge reward when they follow through.
100%. And you hit on the piece of it that I think means the most out of all of it, is ultimately we're trying to set up our future leaders for our communities. And I even look at it another, you know, I compare, I don't like to, because football's not work. Football's a fun thing, and it's an opportunity that kids get. But in all reality, a lot of the things that we try to teach through our program is the things that those kids are going to have to utilize as they grow up. So at some point, you know, we want our kids talking to us as coaches. We don't need the parents telling us. We want the kids doing it, because at some point that kid's going to have to talk to a boss. And going to have to be able to have those conversations and advocate for themselves and push for themselves. And that's one part of it that I think sports brings to it. But there's so many things, that attention to detail. You know, I mean, Gary, you've been doing this for, as we talked earlier, 40-plus years, and, you know these things as well as anybody. I think every coach knows it, and I think sometimes just the desire for greatness to come out gets taken over by really the wrong ways it needs to be handled, when ultimately we're really here trying to set these kids up for future successes.
Amen. Amen. Everybody, head coach of the SCA Salem Tigers, Neil Myers, and we appreciate you spending the morning with us, and you know, we look forward to seeing you. Good luck tonight in week one, and you know, before we know it, it'll be SCA black and blue beating the tar out of one another. It's here.
Hey, that's another set of fun times. Those are good times right there. So,
amen.
Really, I appreciate it, and thank you for the time.
Yep.
Go Big Blue.
Right on. We'll catch you next week, Coach.
Thank you.
Hey, we got more rock and roll that's coming at you. Again, it's your Mountain of Rock, Q94. Stay put.